الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Inshallah, after the remaining dua, Dars al-Quran will be imparted in the English language. All brothers are requested to participate. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. بل متعت هؤلاء وآباءهم حتى جاءهم الحق ورسول مبين. ولما جاءهم الحق قالوا هذا سحر وإنا به كافرون. وقالوا لولا نزل هذا القرآن على رجل من القريتين عظيم. أهم يقسمون رحمة ربك، نحن قسمنا بينهم معيشتهم في الحياة الدنيا، ورفعنا بعضهم فوق بعض درجات ليتخذ بعضهم بعضا سخريا، ورحمة ربك خير مما يجمعون. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. بل متعت هؤلاء وآباءهم حتى جاءهم الحق ورسول مبين. I had given enjoyment to these people and their forefathers until there came to them the truth and a Rasul, a messenger, who explains clearly. وَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمُ الْحَقُّ, when the truth came to them, قَالُوا, they said, هَذَا سِحْرٌ, this is magic, وَإِنَّا بِهِ كَافِرُونَ, and we certainly reject it. In the previous verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was making a mention of the mushrikeen, those who ascribe partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Continuing with the same theme, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further mentions that بَلْ مَتَّعْتُ هَؤُلَاءِ وَآبَاءَهُمْ, I had given enjoyment, meaning I had given the good things of life to these people. I had given them wealth, I had given them prosperity, I had given them good health. They were fortunate enough to be from the progeny of Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, a great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which they also prided themselves to be the descendants of. But after giving them all these good things of life, and not only to them but also to their forefathers, when حَتَّى جَاءَهُمُ الْحَقِّ, the truth, meaning the glorious Quran, came to them, and رَسُولٌ مُبِينٌ, messenger who explains matters clearly, meaning the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then instead of accepting his prophethood and instead of accepting the glorious Quran to be the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they simply said that hada sihrun, this is magic, this is sorcery. And wa inna bihi kafirun, we certainly reject it. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further mentions with regards to the mushrikeen, how they would spread false propaganda amongst the community. Because they themselves did not want to accept the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Despite knowing that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made the being of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam such that merely looking at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sufficient proof that this can only be the face of a prophet. This is why when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came from Makkatul Mukarrama to Madinatul Munawwara, when he migrated from Makkatul Mukarrama, the people of Madinatul Munawwara had been anticipating his arrival. Daily they would come out of their homes, they would reach the outskirts of Madinatul Munawwara. Some of them would climb up onto their rooftops, some would climb up the trees. And in groups they would wait that soon the Prophet of Allah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will enter Madinatul Munawwara. Now during those days, it wasn't like the communication that we have, that you're going to travel from here to London, that you simply send a message that I'll be there at 5 p.m. And if you're going to be late, then you can send a message that I'm going to be half an hour late. In those days, there was no form of communication. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is coming with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu from Makkatul Mukarrama. The news has reached Medina Munawwara, but they are not sure when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is going to arrive. So at night, after seeing that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has still not arrived, they would return, and thereafter the next day they would come out again. So from amongst the residents of Madinatul Munawwara, one was the great Jewish scholar Abdullah bin Salam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who later on embraced Islam. Abdullah bin Salam radiyallahu anhu says that being a Jewish scholar and having the Jewish scriptures in front of me, I had studied that these will be the qualities and the traits which will be found in the final prophet. So I had studied very carefully the Jewish scriptures, and I knew that when this man enters Madinatul Munawwara, then these are the signs I need to look out for before I come to this conclusion that is he in reality the true prophet of Allah or is he fake? So he says, I was waiting with the other people of Madinatul Munawwara when finally that moment came. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam entered into Madinatul Munawwara, the moment my glance fell on him and I saw him for the first time, then he says that فَلَمَّا رَأَيْتُ وَجْهَهُ أَرَفْتُ أَنَّ وَجْهَهُ لَيْسَ بِوَجْهِ كَذَّابٍ, that instantly my heart told me that this cannot be the face of a liar. In other words, I put all of those signs onto one side. Until now, the plan was that I will carry out a comparison study between him and the signs which I have read in my divine book. But as soon as he entered, instantly my heart told me that there's no need to look for these signs. This face has to be the face of a prophet. And instantly my heart told me that he has to be the prophet of Allah Ta'ala. So just imagine living during that time when you could see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with your own eyes. This in itself was sufficient proof that he is the Prophet of Allah Ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this. For example, in one place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ, that they knew and they recognized that he is the Prophet of Allah Ta'ala just as they knew and they recognized their own sons. In other words, just as a father knows that 100% with guarantee I can say that this is my son, there is no doubt in this. In the same way, they knew without any doubt that Muhammad ibn Abdullah is definitely the Prophet of Allah Ta'ala. They knew this. Regarding the munafiqun and the hypocrites, Allah Ta'ala says that إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ, when the hypocrites, when they come to you, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what do they say? قَالُوا نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ, we bear witness that you are the Prophet of Allah Ta'ala. And such was the fabric of society that the likes of the Jews, they knew how much the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the Prophet of Allah Ta'ala and how much they could benefit from his blessings. That on occasions they would go into the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and they would fake a sneeze. So they wouldn't actually sneeze, they would act like they are sneezing. And why would they sneeze? Because they knew the teachings of Islam that when you sneeze, you say Alhamdulillah. And when you say Alhamdulillah, the person who listens to you saying Alhamdulillah, it now becomes wajib for him to say Yarhamukallah. May Allah have mercy on you. These are the teachings of Islam that when a person sneezes, first of all, when you sneeze, then on that occasion you should say Alhamdulillah. So Alhamdulillah means all praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now why do you praise Allah ta'ala when you sneeze? This is another lesson. This is connected to hadith. But the point has come that why does a person sneeze, when he sneezes, why do you say Alhamdulillah? So muhaddithina mention different reasons for this also. For example, that sneezing, it creates activeness in the body, which is the opposite of yawning. You see why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned that al-utasu min Allah wa tatha'umu min ash-shaytan. Sneezing and the effect of sneezing is from Allah Ta'ala. And the effects of yawning are from shaytan. So we have been encouraged to sneeze and discouraged to yawn. This is why when a person, if he feels like yawning, at that time, he is supposed to try to suppress that yawn. And one method which the ulama have mentioned is if a person was to think to himself at that time that the Anbiya alayhi wassalatu wassalam used to never yawn. If you just think of this, that the Anbiya alayhi wassalatu wassalam used to never yawn, just by thinking of this, that yawn will be suppressed and that yawn will go away. This is one way to control the yawn. But sneezing, when a person sneezes, this creates activeness in his body. So sneezing is something good. This is why you say Alhamdulillah. And some of our mashayikh have also mentioned that when a person is going to sneeze, then his entire face changes. His entire face changes before he is going to sneeze. And then after he sneezes, then his face goes back to normal. So after you've sneezed, because your face has now gone back to normal, you say, Alhamdulillah, all praise be to Allah that Allah Ta'ala has made my face go back to normal. Otherwise, what if your face remained in that state that it was before you were going to sneeze? It would have looked very bad. So anyway, that's a completely different lesson. So when you sneeze, you're supposed to say Alhamdulillah. Then Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, or Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen ala kulli hal, or Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen ala kulli halim ma kana. If someone says Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen ala kulli halim ma kana after he sneezes, then the angels, they reply and say, Yarhamukallah, may Allah have mercy on you. So you get the dua of the angels. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that if after sneezing a person was to say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen ala kulli halim ma kana, this person, he will never suffer from a toothache throughout his entire life. So when you sneeze, you're supposed to say Alhamdulillah. When you say Alhamdulillah, now it becomes wajib upon the person who hears you saying Alhamdulillah to say Yarhamukallah. This becomes wajib now on him. So until you didn't say Alhamdulillah, it wasn't wajib. But as soon as you say Alhamdulillah, it becomes wajib. There's only two times when the sunnah act is more rewarding and more virtuous than a wajib act. One is at the time of sneezing and the other is at the time of salam. So again, at the time of salam, to initiate with the salam, when you meet somebody and you say, Assalamu alaikum, this is sunnah. But as soon as you greet them with salam, it now becomes wajib upon them to reply. And the other is in sneezing, that as soon as you say, Alhamdulillah, now it becomes wajib upon whoever is present to say, Yarhamukallah. So the Jews also knew that when you sneeze and you say Alhamdulillah, then the listener will reply with Yarhamukallah, which is a dua that may Allah have mercy on you. So they would go in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and they would act as though they are sneezing. Even though there was no need to, for them to sneeze, but they would act like they are sneezing just so that they can gain the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But first of all, they never used to say Alhamdulillah. Now when the person who sneezes, when he doesn't say Alhamdulillah, you're not supposed to say Yarhamukallah. He doesn't deserve your dua because he hasn't praised Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he wouldn't say Yarhamukallah to them. He wouldn't say, may Allah have mercy on you. Rather, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would say, Yahdikumullah, may Allah guide you. So look, even the Jews knew, despite not accepting Islam, that if we can gain the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this is something which is extremely valuable. So the disbelievers, they knew that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The likes of Abu Jahl and other leaders in Makkatul Mukarrama, at night they would be seen on the outskirts of the Haram, enjoying the recitation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which he would be reciting the Quran during the Tahajjud Salah at night. So it's Makkatul Mukarrama in the Haram. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is performing Tahajjud Salah and he's reciting the Quran aloud. And who is going to listen to this recitation? None other than the arch enemies of Islam. And then prior to Fajr Salah, when they would know that now the Muslims are going to start coming towards the masjid, they would quickly try to return home. But en route to their house, they would end up bumping into one another. So they would ask one another, that, what are you doing at this time of the night? So they would have to concede that despite hating this man, Even we have to accept that listening to his recitation is something which is amazing and we enjoy it so much that we sacrifice our sleep and we come here to listen to his Quran. But despite of all of this, they just were not ready to accept his prophethood and accept Islam due to their pride and due to their arrogance. Their pride and their arrogance. This is why pride and arrogance is a very, very detrimental malady which every person has to cure himself from. Otherwise, it will destroy a person. This pride. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he goes to invite his uncle, Abu Talib, when Abu Talib is in his final moments, so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt that this uncle of mine who has been by my side and who has supported me all this time, now he is in his final moments, let me try one last time to make him read the kalima. So he goes to his uncle and he says to his uncle that just read the kalima, just say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And on the day of Qiyamah, I will intercede on your behalf and you will be granted entry into Jannah. That's all you need to do. You just need to read the kalima and thereafter you are going to depart from this world. What did Abu Talib say? What did his uncle say? وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ بِأَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ مِنْ خَيْرِ أَدْيَانِ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينًا وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ بِأَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ I know that the religion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best religion from all the religions which are on the face of this earth. I know this. But just knowing something is not sufficient. He announced to the world before he was leaving. Imagine the final moments and you know that the religion with which this prophet, this nephew of mine has come with is the correct religion. But look what pride can do to a person. وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ بِأَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ مِنْ خَيْرِ أَدْيَانِ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينَ لَوْلَا الْمَلَامَةُ أَوْ حِذَارُ مَسَبَّةٍ لَوَجَدَّنِي سَمْحًا بِذَاكَ مُبِينًا If it was not for the fact that these people will begin to lament me and speak ill of me, that Abu Talib left the religion of his forefathers and he has accepted the message of his nephew, if it was not for this one point, then I would have definitely accepted the religion of Islam. But just because he could not accept this much, that people will talk about me, what will people say? Even today, in our time, there will be so many. Even you and I will probably experience this during our lifetime at times. When you want to act upon a certain aspect of Islam, but then shaitan puts his thought in your mind that what will people say? So this what will people say is stopping you from accepting a command of Allah Ta'ala, practicing upon a command of Allah Ta'ala. So we're worried about what will people say. Are we not worried about what will Allah say? How will we show our face to Allah? This is because we don't have the correct ma'rifah and the recognition of Allah Ta'ala. That we are fearful of the people, but we are not fearful of the Creator. So the mushrikeen knew that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they had decided that we are not going to bring iman. We know he's the Prophet of Allah, but we're not going to bring iman upon him. We're not going to believe in him. So when this becomes a reality, then now these people, what they do is they begin to spread false propaganda. Why? So that those other people who are going to accept Islam or who are inclined towards accepting Islam, they can stop them from accepting Islam. They themselves don't want to accept, but they don't want this following to increase and grow. Whenever there's a person who's on haq, who's on the truth, who's on the correct path, and he is calling people towards the correct path, you will always have a party who will be against him. So they will criticize him. They will call him a liar. And together with all of this, because they don't want his following to grow, they will start spreading false propaganda. So this is what we find in the Quran with regards to the mushrikeen. They themselves did not want to accept the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they begin to spread false propaganda now. So regarding this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now mentions in the next verse that وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِّنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ. And they say, why is this Quran not revealed to a prominent man from one of the two cities? Why was the Quran not revealed upon a prominent man from one of the two cities? Before this, the first point of spreading false propaganda was that how is it possible for a human being to be a prophet of Allah Ta'ala? They tried to make the mindset of the people such that a human and a prophet of Allah, there's no connection between the two. It's not possible for a human to be a prophet. For example, they would say, Mali hadal rasul. What sort of a prophet is this? Ya'kulu ta'am. He eats food. Wayamshi fil aswaq. And he walks around in the marketplace. In other words, a prophet should be some creation of Allah that he is not like you and I. This prophet, he eats also, he drinks also, he buys also, he sells also. We see him in the shop also. Like some people believe that ulama and imams, they should be of such a caliber that you shouldn't see them in Asda or in Tesco or in Sainsbury's. If you see them, then they'll come home and tell their wife that today I saw Imam Sahib in Asda. Well, where is he going to get his shopping from? If an imam is driving, Imam Sahib was driving today. So this is nothing new. This is going back. We find this. Look how clear it is in the Quran. That the mushrikeen themselves used to say, Mali hadal rasul. What sort of a prophet is this? Yakulu ta'am. He eats food. Wayamshi fil aswaq. He walks in the marketplace. So they tried to drill this in the minds of the people that a prophet, he shouldn't be a human being. He shouldn't be a human being. أَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ بَشَرًا رَسُولًا. They would say that has Allah Ta'ala sent a human being as a Rasul? How can a Rasul be a human being? The Quran says, أَكَانَ لِلنَّاسِ عَجَبًا أَنْ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِّنْهُمْ. Do the people find it strange that we sent wahi and revelation upon a man from amongst them? Do they find it difficult to believe that why did a man receive wahi and revelation? Why was a man made a prophet? So they would say a man shouldn't be a prophet. When a man shouldn't be a prophet, a human should not be a prophet, then who should be a prophet? So they claimed that a human should not be a prophet, an angel should be a prophet. An angel. وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مَلَكْ. They say that why was an angel not sent towards him? لَوْلَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مَلَكٌ فَيَكُونَ مَعَهُ نَذِيرًا. So either the prophet should have been an angel, or if the prophet was not an angel, then the minimum should have been that with the prophet, Allah Ta'ala should have sent an angel also, who would have told us that, you know, this person here, he is the prophet of Allah Ta'ala. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in different parts of the Quran has explained this. The gist of which is that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the prophet in the form of an angel, there would have been one of two situations. Number one is Allah ta'ala sent down the prophet as an angel and the angel came down in its original form. If the angel came down in its original form, you and I, the human beings, we don't have the capability to see an angel with our own eyes. Allah Ta'ala has not made us that strong and that powerful. We are not able to see an angel with our own eyes. We would faint, we would become unconscious. So it's not possible for you to see the angel with your own eyes. For argument's sake, let's say Allah Ta'ala gave us that ability and we could see the angel with our own eyes. The angel is a creation of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala which is connected to the world of the unseen. And the usul and the principle is that if Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala makes you see something from the world of the unseen, or you request to see it and Allah Ta'ala shows it to you, if after this you still don't believe, then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala's punishment comes down suddenly. Then there is no respite. وَلَوْ أَنزَلْنَا مَلَكًا لَقُدِيَ الْأَمْرُ ثُمَّ لَا يُنذَرُونَ. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala mentions this. For example, when during the time of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, the Banu Israel and the Hawariyin, they requested Isa alayhi salam that ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to send down food, a dastarkhan of food from the heavens as a sign. So we want to see Allah Ta'ala sending down food from the heavens. When He sends down food from the heavens, a whole mat of food, a whole spread full of food, then we will believe that yes, Isa, he must be the prophet of Allah Ta'ala, because he was able to ask Allah for food and food came down from the heavens. So Isa alayhi salam thought to himself that if I request Allah and He does send down the food and they all see this, at least they will accept my prophethood, which is the whole mission of the Prophet, that he wants them to somehow accept the message that they can be saved from Jahannam. So Isa alayhi salam made dua, رَبَّنَا أَنزِلْ عَلَيْنَا مَائِدَةً مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ تَكُونُ لَنَا عِيدًا لِأَوَّلِنَا وَآخِرِنَا وَآيَةً مِّنْكَ وَارْزُقْنَا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ. That, oh Allah, send down a dastarkhan from the heavens, which will be a sign. So what did Allah Ta'ala say? إِنِّي مُنَزِّلُهَا عَلَيْكُمْ. I will send it down. But فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بَعْدُ مِنْكُمْ. Thereafter, whoever will commit kufr and who still will not believe in me, then remember, فَإِنِّي أُعَذِّبُهُ عَذَابًا لَا أُعَذِّبُهُ أَحَدًا مِّنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. I will punish them in such a way that I have never punished anybody before in such a way. Now the punishment will be extremely severe. Because you asked for a sign, we gave you the very sign you asked for, and you're still not accepting the message now. Now there's no chance after this. So this is a principle, that when Allah Ta'ala shows you something from the unseen and you still don't accept after this, then there's no respite, there's no other chances. So Allah Ta'ala says that if we were to send down the Prophet in the form of an angel, and the angel belongs to the world of the unseen, and after seeing this angel, you still don't accept that this is the Prophet of Allah Ta'ala, then you will not be given any chances. Straight away, on the spot, you will be instantly punished. And you will be destroyed. And as far as sending the Prophet in the form of an angel is concerned, at this moment in time, you are finding it difficult to believe Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is saying, I am the Prophet of Allah Ta'ala. If we send the Prophet in the form of an angel, the angel will say to you that number one, I am an angel, and number two, I am the Prophet of Allah. You'll have to believe in two things. Right now, you're not even accepting one thing. And over there, you'll have to believe two things. That he's saying, I'm the angel. Believe this also. And on top of this, believe that I've come in the form of a human being. And I am the Prophet of Allah Ta'ala. How will you accept that and how will you believe in that? وَلَوْ جَعَلْنَاهُ مَلَكًا رَجُلًا وَلَلَبَسْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ مَا يَلْبِسُونَ. And finally, the wisdom. The wisdom, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Hakim. He is the all wise. He knows best. But one very easy to understand wisdom behind the fact that why Allah ta'ala has to send down the Prophet in the form of a human being is that the human being, he is a role model for all of those who believe in him. The Prophet is a role model. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells us that this is how you have to live your life. But he doesn't just verbally tell us that this is how you have to live your life. He practically also shows us that this is how you have to live your life. If an angel was to come into this world as a prophet, the angel doesn't eat, the angel doesn't drink, the angel doesn't marry, the angel does not have any of those human needs which you and I have. So you and I will say, well, you as an angel, for you to stand in prayer throughout the night is very easy. For you to fast, you don't eat and drink anyway. So a human being is sent. That human who has all the needs that you and I have. Now that human lives from morning to night in the same way that we live and shows us that together with living in the world, together with filling my stomach, together with filling the stomach of my wives and my children, I am living in this world also and I am obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. For you, in the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is an excellent example. That he's practically showing you how to be a Muslim. So a prophet has to be a human being. A prophet cannot be an angel. This is the answer to the first argument of this. That لَوْلَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مَلَكٌ فَيَكُونَ مَعَهُ نَذِيرًا. Why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send an angel with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allah ta'ala says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ. That even if you look at the history, you will find that every prophet that has come from the time of Adam alayhi salam until Isa alayhi salam, they were all human beings. None of them were angels. Prophets have always been human beings. Thereafter, they came up with many other absurd arguments. They continued to spread this false propaganda. For example, they would say, "Aw yulqa ilayhi kanzun." Why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send down some treasure to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Some treasure should have come down from the heavens, which we could have seen and we could have said that yes, he must be the Prophet of Allah. Look, all this is coming down from the heavens. أَوْ تَكُونَ لَهُ جَنَّةُ يَأْكُلُ مِنْهَا. Or, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him a special garden from which he could eat? He could show us that, look, I've got this special garden from which I am eating, which nobody else has, so I am the Prophet of Allah ta'ala. And in Surah Banu Israel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that waqalu, they the kuffar say to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that lan nu'mina laka, we shall never believe in you hatta tafjura lana min al-ardi yambu'a, until you cause a spring or a fountain to gush forth for us from the earth. So this was another request which they made. Then أَوْ تَكُونَ لَكَ جَنَّةٌ مِّن نَخِيلٍ وَعِنَبٍ فَتُفَجِّرَ الْأَنْهَارَ خِلَالَهَا تَفْجِيرًا. Or, until you have a special orchard of dates and grapes amid which you cause rivers to flow strongly. أَوْ تُسْقِطَ السَّمَاءَ كَمَا زَعَمْتَ عَلَيْنَا كِسَفًا. Or, until you drop the sky upon us in fragments, in pieces, as you claim, will happen to us if we reject. أو تأتي بالله والملائكة قبيلة, or until you bring Allah and the angels before our very eyes to prove that you are a true Nabi. أو يكون لك بيت من زخرف, or until you have a house of gold. If you start living in a house of gold, then we'll believe that you're the Prophet of Allah Ta'ala. أو ترقى في السماء, or you climb up into the sky. وَلَن نُؤْمِنَ لِرُقِيِّكَ حَتَّى تُنَزِّلَ عَلَيْنَا كِتَابًا نَقْرَهُ. Then they thought to themselves that he is the Prophet of Allah. Maybe if he does climb into the sky, then we'll have to believe him. So they made it more difficult and they added another condition. That, and we'll never be convinced of your ascension, your climbing into the sky, until you send to us a divine book that we can read. Meaning go into the sky and bring a book from there, which we can read. Then we'll believe that you're the Prophet of Allah Ta'ala. So these were all these extra requests which they made. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he consoled the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that يَسْأَلُكَ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ أَن تُنَزِّلَ عَلَيْهِمْ كِتَابًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. That the people of the book, they are requesting you that you go up into the heavens and you bring a book for them which they can read. So, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not worry. فَقَدْ سَأَلُوا مُوسَىٰ أَكْبَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. They asked Musa alayhi salam for something which was even more greater and even more difficult than this. And what was that? أَرِنَ اللَّهَ جَهْرَةً. That we want to see Allah with our own eyes. So they asked Musa alayhi salam that we will only believe in Allah if we can see Allah with our own eyes. So this is something which the disbelievers have always done. These requests of theirs is not that if you fulfill their request, then they will accept Iman. No, if you fulfill their request, they'll ask for something else. So over here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning, the point I was making was that first of all, they said that the Prophet cannot be a human being, he has to be an angel. So in so many different ways in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it clear that the Prophet has to be a human being. A prophet cannot be an angel. It's just not going to work. He has to be the human being. Now even those people who they were trying to convince, even they began to believe that yes, it's true. The prophet will have to be a human being. He's our role model. So when they saw that now everybody's accepting that the prophet has to be a human being. A prophet cannot be an angel. So they now changed and they said, okay, prophet has to be a human being. Finally, they had to accept no. He said, okay, Prophet has to be a human being, but why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make one of those humans a prophet who are very influential, who are very wealthy, who we look up to? You know, who is this Muhammad who's an orphan, who's not wealthy, who has no standing in society, who's not influential? Why was he granted prophethood? Prophethood should have been granted to one of the influential people. So this is what Allah Ta'ala is mentioning. That وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا. They said, لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ. لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. Why is this Qur'an not revealed? عَلَى رَجُلٍ. To a prominent man. مِنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ. From one of the two cities. قَرْيَتَيْنِ. The two cities. The two cities, unanimously, the Mufassirin and the commentators of the Quran agree that it refers to Makkatul Mukarrama and Ta'if. Makkatul Mukarrama and Ta'if. So Makkah and Ta'if, these are the two cities. As far as the prominent man is concerned, Imam Qatada rahmatullahi alayhi says that from amongst the prominent men of Makkatul Mukarrama, the one who it refers to here is Walid bin Mughira. So they say that why didn't Allah Ta'ala give prophethood to Walid bin Mughira? And from Ta'if, Urwa bin Mas'ud al-Thaqafi. Both were extremely influential, they were extremely wealthy, and they had a very high standing. in their respective circles. Imam Mujahid rahmatullahi alayhi says it refers to Umayr bin Abdi Yalil al-Thaqafi from Ta'if and Utba bin Rabi'a from Makkah. And Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma says that the influential man of Ta'if was Habib bin Amr al-Thaqafi. Regarding Walid bin Mughira, he was known during his time as Rayhanatu Quraysh. And he himself would say that لو كان ما يقوله محمد حقا, if Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying the truth, that Allah ta'ala sends down revelation from the heavens, then that revelation would have been revealed either upon me or either upon Urwa bin Mas'ud al-Thaqafi. Because our rank and status is far greater than his. So this is what they would say, that if the Prophet was a human being, then why would Allah Ta'ala choose Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He would have revealed it upon one of these influential leaders of Makkatul Mukarramah or Ta'if. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies that أَهُمْ يَقْسِمُونَ رَحْمَةَ رَبِّكَ, do they distribute the mercy of your Rabb? Rahmah here means prophethood. Do they distribute the mercy, meaning the prophethood of your Rabb? نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَتَهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, we distribute their livelihood among them in this worldly life. Forget prophethood, even their most important need of the day, which is their livelihood, their rizq, their sustenance. They don't even have control over this. Somebody wants to earn £2,000, but he can only earn £1,000. Somebody wants to eat a certain type of food, and he goes to 10 shops, but he can't find that type of food. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, this rizq and this sustenance, which is their main need, they don't even have control over this. We have not even given them control over this, that you distribute rizq and sustenance. Why? Because we know their nature. If we gave them control over this, they would have distributed everything amongst their relatives, and 95% of the world would have remained poor. So we haven't even given the humans this much control that you distribute rizq and sustenance. No, we are in control of rizq and sustenance. When we distribute rizq and sustenance, then prophethood is something which is far more greater. Why are we going to give them control over prophethood, that you choose who is going to be a prophet and who is not going to be a prophet? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this way answers them. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further says that وَرَفَعْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ, that we elevate and raise the ranks of some of them above others, لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا سُخْرِيَةً, so that they may derive benefit from each other. We elevate the ranks of some of them above others so that they may derive benefit from each other. What this means is that in this world, nobody is independent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the system of this world such that everybody will in some case or another be dependent upon another person. If we just take the example of an employer and an employee, the employer and the employee, the employee we know is in need of the employer. This is why the employee will do everything that the employer tells. If the employer says, you must be here at 9 in the morning, the employee will make sure he's there 9 in the morning. And whatever the employer tells him to do, he will do it. Why? Because he feels that I am in need of this wage. And the wage my employer is going to give me. But it doesn't mean that the employer is not in need of the employee. If this employer thinks to himself that I've got my own factory, I've got my business, I'm extremely wealthy and rich, so I'm independent. No, he will never think he's independent. He knows that those 50 people that are working in his factory, he needs them. Tomorrow, if all 50 go on strike and they walk out, what's going to happen to his business? Before you know it, he's going into liquidation. Before you know it, he's going to become bankrupt. So he also at every moment is in need. That these employees, if only they continue working for me, only then does my status in society remain up here. Otherwise I'm going down also. So each person is in need of another. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the system of this world such. Some people Allah ta'ala has made rich and some people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made poor. But they are in need of each other. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning, وَرَفَعْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ, that we have given people different status. Because the mushrikeen, they believe that everybody should become wealthy and everybody should be rich. Each and every one of them wants to become extremely wealthy and extremely rich. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, this is not how the system of this world works. And it's this very verse of the Quran which rejects the economic system of communism. There's two systems. One is communism and the other is capitalism. So there was a time in history when communism was on the rise and capitalism was down. And now capitalism has gone up. There is no communism. Maybe approximately five countries, the likes of China, Vietnam, they are trying to establish communism. That doesn't mean that they are successful in this. Russia tried for a very lengthy period of time to establish communism, but it didn't work. In the end, they had to also concede that despite of all our efforts, we have not been able to make Russia a communist state. If the people continued, maybe after this many years, we would have made this a successful system. But they had to accept that it wasn't successful. Communism is not a successful system. And capitalism is also not a successful system. Communism is basically when the leaders and the authorities decide that we are going to try and make everybody on the same level. In simple words, this is what communism is. We want everybody to be the same. We want everybody to be the same. And in capitalism, the rich, they continue to become rich. And the poor continue to remain poor. Both of them don't work. In communism, everybody should be the same. What happens? Those who are rich, those who are wealthy, those who have a job, those who are working hard, they are earning their money. They are told that you will have to share your money with those who don't have money. So what will these people do? They'll just sit at home. They'll be lazy. They'll be negligent. But what's the point of working when we're going to get that money anyway? So they won't even try to work. And in capitalism, the theory is that the rich, whatever they earn, all that money belongs to them. Now, even if a person is genuinely in need, there is no way to support him. So Islam has shown us a moderate way. Islam has said no to communism also, and Islam has said no to capitalism also. And Islam has shown us a way that you will work and you will earn as much as you want, as long as you do it within the framework of Islam. And in order to ensure that the weak sector and the poor sector, who are genuinely poor, who are genuinely weak, who genuinely cannot earn, for them to ensure that they are not consumed by the wealthy, by the rich, Islam has made certain rulings. For example, interest is haram. Gambling is haram. Why? Because if a person goes deep into the teachings of what is interest, what is gambling, you will come to this conclusion that this is consuming the rights of the poor, and the poor will never be able to become rich. So Islam has made those things haram. And because there will be genuine people that are poor, that can't work, the elderly, the widows, who definitely cannot earn, then Islam has shown us and encouraged us and portrayed before us so many different forms of charity. Some of them are compulsory. For example, zakat. So 2.5% the wealthy will give in zakat on an annual basis. Sadaqatul fitr on the day of Eid al-Fitr. This is necessary. Then wajib charities. When a person makes a vow. Kaffara and penalties. Whether it's for fasting, whether it's fidya. Whether it's the kafara for violating an oath. during the time of slavery. It was Islam who abolished slavery. Again, our children in school will learn that slavery was abolished during a certain period of time. But the reality is, if a person studies the Quran and Hadith, he'll find that slavery was abolished during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where virtues were mentioned, and there are so many different rulings that if you were to do this, you have to free a slave, for example. And then on top of this, all the optional forms of charity, where so many rewards and so many benefits have been mentioned. So, وَرَفَعْنَا بَعْدَهُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْدٍ دَرَجَاتٍ لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْدُهُمْ سُخْرِيَةً. From this verse we understand that even communism is not a successful economic system, rather it's a failed system. And capitalism is also a failed economic system. There is only one correct system which, if utilized and if which established on earth correctly, can work for the human beings, is the system of Islam. But unfortunately, just like in everything else, the humans have turned their faces away from the teachings of the Quran, and this is why we find the economic system of the world in the state that it is in. Mufti Muhammad Shafi' Sahib rahmatullahi alayh, in the commentary of Surah Al-Baqarah, has very simply explained that if you want the economic system of the world to be successful, then you have to just do two things. Number one, rid the entire world of interest. And number two, upon whomever zakat is compulsory, they should discharge their zakat. If every individual in the world upon whom zakat is compulsory discharges his zakat, and if you completely abolish interest from the world, then you will see that the economic system of the world will be a success. But until then, it will never be successful. And finally, we've run out of time. Finally, Allah Ta'ala says, وَرَحْمَةُ رَبِّكَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. That the mercy of your Rabb, meaning prophethood, is better than whatever wealth they amass. So number one, Allah Ta'ala has given Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prophethood. And they are wealthy. So they are thinking to themselves that we should be the prophets, or we should be the ones who are granted revelation because of our wealth, because of our status. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that do they not know that prophethood is something far more greater than wealth? This prophethood is something which requires concern. Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mutawasil al-ahzan. At all times it was his concern. Da'im al-fikra. He was always thinking, he was always worried. How do I bring people towards Islam? Laysat lahu raha. There was no peace, there was no sukoon, there was no resting. On the go, day, night, he was always trying to bring people towards this religion. Speaking to Muslims, speaking to non-Muslims, speaking to mushrikeen. He was tortured, his family was tortured, his companions were tortured. He had to migrate. But it was a constant concern. Do these people who you claim should be the prophets of Allah have this sort of concern? It requires worry. It requires intelligence. Wahab ibn Munabbih rahmatullahi alayhi says that if all the particles of sand in the entire world, they were to be placed on one side, and one drop, one speck of sand was to be taken out. This one speck, this is the combined intelligence of all the human beings. And the rest of the sand which is in the deserts of the world, this is the intelligence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It requires foresightedness. It requires a very powerful heart, which we see when you study the incident between Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Jibreel alayhi salam on the occasion of the first wahi and revelation. It requires taqwa of a very high level. It requires sincerity of a very high level. It requires such trustworthiness that his own enemies, despite being his enemies, when they wanted to place something in trust, they would come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and say, we will leave this in your home. So this is prophethood, and you are trying to say that these people who have wealth, they should be the prophets of Allah. وَرَحْمَةُ رَبِّكَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. The mercy of Allah Ta'ala is far better than what these people have. So all they have is some amount of wealth of this world. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been granted something great, which is the prophethood. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us all the ability to appreciate our iman, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen our iman and never let such doubts about our religion, about prophethood, about wahi and revelation, about the Quran ever creep into our minds and hearts, as we can see that those people who do not accept the truth, and when they make it their goal of life that they are not going to accept the truth and they are going to deviate others, then no matter how much you try to explain to them, they will never be able to be guided. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from such individuals, and may Allah ta'ala make us from those who are guided and who remain on guidance until we breathe our last, so that when we leave this world, we leave in a state that Allah ta'ala is pleased with us and we are granted entry into Jannah. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر سبحان الله الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها وقال الإنسان ما لها يومئذ تحدث أخبارها بأن ربك أوحى لها يومئذ يصدر الناس أشتاتا ليروا أعمالهم فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال قال ذرة شرا يره
الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين فذلك الذي يدع اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماعون
الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
One important announcement. The founder of this madrasa and musalla, Maulana Zahir Bodhi Sahib, his mother has passed away in India. So Maulana Zahir Sahib, his mother has passed away in India. So all brothers are requested to make dua-e maghfirah also and read something and do isale thawab also, send the reward by doing some ibadah. It is our right because Maulana Zahir Sahib is the one who founded this place, and thereafter whatever we have benefited from this place, one of the main reasons would be him. So his mother has passed away. So all brothers are requested to do dua-e maghfirah and also isale thawab. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ربنا ولولا أنك صلى وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم اشف مرضانا